Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Woody Allen Retrospective Podcast. I'm your host, Donald Wanda, and I'm joined once again. My co-host is from another planet. The planet with the letter A stands for arsehole. You guys loved it when I said that last time, and I'm going to welcome back that man right now. Super Simeon Rad, Simon Rad from Krypton. Welcome back.
Jesus Christ, you should shorten that a bit. I mean, come on, man. What was that? The podcast almost over. I'm not even in yet. Okay, well, welcome everybody. I'm glad at least I got my own planet now. Thank you. And by the way, you're not invited. I'm building a space wall.
Let's call him Simeon Trump. That's even a better name. So guys,
No,
your next name. You actually brought that on yourself. Simeon Trump, guys, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Simeon. Let's give him a round of applause.
I am the greatest at applause. The best. Absolute best. Believe me.
Guys, on our last discussion, we veered off a little bit because on this retrospective, we're not only talking about the Woody Allen directed movies. We're talking about some of the offshoot stuff he did. So last time we spoke about New York Stories, that three-part movie, you know, that was lukewarm. Go and click on the top right corner of that YouTube card if you want to go and watch that discussion. Guys, if you're listening on the podcast, if you're listening on the iTunes, Stitcher Radio, what have you, thanks for checking us out. But just to let you guys know, we have a website in development, which I've been working on even today, which is called woodyallenretro.com. It's going to be very basic, but it's going to fit our purposes. Guys, I want to thank you for listening on the podcast. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for subscribing. It's always surprising to me. Well, actually, it's not surprising to me that we've got more people listening in on the podcast on YouTube. It is what it is. But that's it, guys. And lastly, all of these reviews, as usual, are spoiler discussions. If you haven't watched the movie we're going to talk about, you should, because you're not going to get all these in-jokes and stuff. And, you know, you might be lost. But if you don't care about spoilers, you just want to hear me and Simon talk about the next movie in the retrospective, then stay tuned, because we're going to move on. And we are out of the depressing 80s. And Simon's going to usher us into the movie for the new decade, which is, Simon?
Which is a remake of a movie from the 80s, if you ask me. We're talking about 1990s Ellis. Yes, another movie dedicated to Mia Farrow. And in my opinion, is the movie that never happened. When Mia Farrow was pregnant and had to take a supporting role in another woman, basically, the movie stays very committed to the title. It's all about Ellis, played by Mia Farrow. I wouldn't say old, but older woman, mother and loving wife, who's going through, in typical Woody Allen fashion, somewhat of a midlife crisis in the transitional phase of her life, where she feels a little bit lost and wonder, you know, what happened, what kind of choices she made leading up to that point in her life. And you can tell it's set in the 90s because already it's a bit more positive. Woody Allen kind of found something we're going to see from him a lot down the road, which is all these people who live luxurious lives and are very comfortable. Themes that he experimented with before. But this movie is really the definitive of these people have it all. They have money, they have a career, children, family, the marriage. On the surface looks great, but guess what? You're still miserable, because all that means nothing when you're miserable on the inside. And Mia Farrow's character goes through the usual Woody Allen tones of looking back into the past. But this time, once again, we get a supernatural element in the form of visiting a Chinese medicine shop. It's very stereotypical. Mia Farrow's character is surrounded by all these housewives who do nothing but shop and gossip, and they recommend this magic doctor for her, a Chinese man in Chinatown. So she visits him, and you could tell immediately that the dude has some very unusual methods of hypnosis and all sorts of magic potions, and the movie runs with it. We have all sorts of very imaginative sequences, and it, in my opinion, it turns into a fantasy film almost at some points, or a fairy tale. But we can get into some deeper discussion, but
yeah,
I think people can tell that this is another a bit of a retrack, a lighter tone, a more positive tone, but nothing we haven't seen before, at least Woody Allen attempt in the past.
Yeah, and you know, guys, for the record, I do want to say, I know one thing that annoys some people, especially looking at the feedback, is when we say that Woody Allen goes back and reuses ideas. I don't know why people take that as an insult, because as Simon said before, he's a volume director. He uses some of his older ideas and just kind of improves on them or twists them around. And, you know, nothing's new under the sun. So I don't know why people take offense to that. So I agree with you. Again, this is more of the same.
And you can take that as a compliment, because what a lot of other guys did, especially in the 80s, that instead of making another movie, they just put their name down as a producer. So they didn't actually follow up with a lot of their ideas because it wasn't different or revolutionary enough.
Yeah.
And that actually made a bunch of projects fall a little bit short, because, you know, it was just Spielberg produced, not Spielberg directed in his prime. I mean, that doesn't go for everything. Of course, Spielberg produced a lot of great movies where his helping hand was to the director's benefit at the time, but also there are a lot of movies where he just put his name down and you expected a bit more and you kind of wish he would have directed it, but instead he focused on something else. Woody Allen actually puts in the work. He writes and directs everything. When he has an idea, he's going to follow through it. He's not going to get someone else to do it for him.
What I'll say about this movie is I thought this was just, when I talk about a very family-friendly, just an okay movie, this is just one of his passable movies. It's very easy, crowd-pleasing. And I actually feel like, you said, Simon, the 80s was that time when he wanted to delve into dramas and do more stuff for himself. And now with the 90s, and I'm not going to speak for every movie, this was a very hit-and-miss year for Woody Allen, because he made a lot more lighter movies, crowd pleasingness movies. And as a director, you know, maybe he's done the drama thing and now he wants to experiment more and be a bit lighter. So we're definitely going to see that in the 90s. I think you hit the nail on the head. This movie is kind of like a fairy tale fantasy, a modern fairy tale fantasy with Alice, you know, coming to this magical person, this herb guy. I thought the movie was okay, but I guess my problem with the movie was just that I'm kind of used to Woody Allen having a reality-based idea and then adding only a little bit of fantasy. This is the movie where he really just piled on the fantasy elements. Like, you know, when she meets this the medicine, let's call him the Asian medicine man or whatever, you know, the first thing he gives her slightly changes her personality. And I thought that was enough for the movie. I thought, oh, it's going to be interesting. She's going to, like, change her personality every time she sees the guy. But nope, she goes back and then he gives him an invisible medicine. And then she gives him a ghost medicine, and then and I was just like, it was a little bit too fantastical for me. I didn't really think the movie needed it. It was different for Woody to just add on the fantasy so much, and that's the thing that stand out to me about this movie. But it piled on a bit too much for me, and then I was kind of like, it just felt more and more like a family movie by the end of it, and that's fine. Woody Allen should diversify, but I just felt it was less interesting. Now, as for the cast, Mia Farrow was fine. I'm gonna say something at the end that's gonna make you laugh a lot. And actually, why leave it to the end, say it now? The ending for this movie, I actually wish this was the last movie she did with Woody Allen. Because that movie's, when did he there? When did he at the movie the last movie she does anyway? Because the ending to this movie, especially the last shot, that's very real to how her end with Woody Allen ends. I was like, this would have been better. If this was your last end for Woody Allen, it would make perfect sense, because this is how basically you split up Woody Allen. This movie is your real ending for Woody Allen, which I thought was hilarious. But apart from that, you know, one of the biggest, I don't want to say disappointments, was like, you got Alec Baldwin in the movie. And when I saw his name on the roster, I was like, wow, the role he's got is small. And I was just like, I kind of wish he was actually her husband, because I think he could have played that with a lot more charisma than the ghost character he plays, which is still fine. But because it was so fantastical, where they're flying in the air like Aladdin over the sea, I was just like,
yeah, it reminded me of the Richard Donovan Superman. I mean, shot for shot, it looked like the angles looked exactly the same.
You know what? I think you're 100% right. You're right. That's what it reminded me of, not Aladdin. It was just that. And, you know, he was the biggest name. You know, the standout actor in this movie to me has to be the Asian doctor, whose real name is Kiki Luke. Unfortunately, I think he died like 3 months after making this movie, which is crazy.
Whoa, what's up with that?
Yeah, man, that's, hey, rest in peace, man. But he has so much charisma. The way he talks and misses, I can't remember any, misses, you have problem. It's very stereotypical, and right now, I'm sure it wouldn't be very politically correct, but it is fun. He just brings a lot of fun to it. Again, stereotypical, but he was the one I enjoyed the most. And oh, sorry, of course, Mia Farrow's love interest, the other, that guy. Why haven't I got his name down?
His name is Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, Joe Mantegna. He is a prolific actor as well.
Oh, yeah. He got his signature coat. I swear that guy spent 10 years of his career in every role wearing the same coat that he wears in this movie. That's like his signature.
Yeah, and I think he's in a couple more Woody Allen movies down the line as well, but he's a very... I just saw him in something... Oh, he's in the movie that's coming out, which I'm not even going to get into right now. Hey, look, to be honest with you, this is one of the shorter reviews because I just thought this was a much lighter, crowd-pleasing movie. And it's a nice tonal shift for Woody Allen because he done the drama. But to me, the heel turn on this was a bit too fast. I think it would have been more memorable if there wasn't so much fantasy elements in it because honestly, I don't think this movie ages that well because of all the fantasy special effects, it's kind of goofy. To be honest with you, and you said that it's kind of compared to Another Woman. Woody Allen said that himself. This was, he was trying to make a alternate version of Another Woman. I was like, I can see the structure of the story and what you're saying, especially from a woman realizing, you know, her life is a lie and all this, you know, bettering herself, all that stuff. But with Another Woman, it's done in a much more emotionally, dramatically, and mature way. Here, it's kind of just the theme, it's like a fairy tale theme to a story. Like, if you're going to say Disney has these lessons about life, or Aladdin's a street urchin, now he's got the heart of gold, it's kind of one of them movies. This honestly could be like an after school special movie to me. And I know it's not like I hate the movie, I don't, but I was just kind of like, Woody, you're better than this. I've seen so much stronger movies. This is fine. And to my surprise, man, the movie really didn't do well at all. And after this movie, the studio were really like, Woody, man, you are a really good writer, but if you're not in front of the camera, people ain't coming to see you.
Yeah, it's like, it does seem like every movie he does where he's not in the picture, it does considerably
less
business.
Yeah, it's at this point, and you got to notice the jump, because he had a long string of dramas. Then he did Crime and Misdemeanors, and that was a hailed Oscar-winning movie. That was
suddenly everybody lost their minds. Like, well, what's up?
Yeah, and then afterwards, even the last movie, The New York Stories, that you know, he was in that. People actually really liked that comedy. Even I liked that comedy part he did with his mother, with the fantasy, you know, her mom turned into a ghost or whatever. So this movie is not in it, and I don't know, man. People, Mia Farrow, very good in the movie. The actors are good in the movie. But overall, I just think it's a very, very mediocre movie. When he wanted to take a step back and do something a bit lighter, which is fine. New decade, new fine. It's a fine movie, but I'm not surprised that it isn't well-loved. I just actually think this is one of the movies he's done that doesn't age as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one you can skip. We talked about this, if you have to.
Oh,
skip
wait a minute, Simon. This is the first time you agreed. I mean, I've said that countless times.
No, let me finish. Me personally, I don't say skip anything. I think give everything a try because it's subjective. You know, you may like it. But here's the thing. Like, in terms of Woody Allen fans, this is an important movie because you will see him try this perspective many, many times. And he became a really good director at this point. Like, how the movie's directed is very creative. He plays a lot of round with angles and reflections and panning across the different scenes and revealing things with camera movement. So from that perspective, you can see his growth. I just think he really wanted to give Mia Farrow the movie she didn't get before, where it's just a character piece centered around her playing this wife, who's a very realistic role for her, and there's a lot to dig into as an actor. And the writing really plays to her strength, like just flipping on a dime, where she gets all these potions and her personality changes. Sometimes in scene, you can see she completely shifts out of hypnosis and consciousness and recollects memories. Then she goes from being timid to very forward to confused to reminiscent. All this stuff, it plays to her strength as an actor.
Yeah.
And I noticed this theme with Woody Allen, that he always makes her play these characters who gave up something for their husband, like they always gave up their career. And at this point, Mia Farrow has been, you know, acting in Woody Allen movies for almost 10 years, you know, like 8 years, and I always feel like, are you pulling that, you know, Stardust memories again, where you say this is not reality, this is something completely fictional, but then you just keep doing stuff that mimics your life, like not only with this plots of affairs and a marriage dying out and the flames not there, but also this constant idea of the wife complaining that I gave up so much to you, and her husband's like, well, not really, honey, you know, you were struggling. And it's like, no, I could have done things. I was just focusing on you. I did it for you. And I'm like, I see what you're trying to do, but the movie's biggest fault is that when the fantasy element comes in, it's just kind of pointless. To me, the movie doesn't really have an identity. You gave me a pharaoh so much good stuff to act with, but then it just turns into this fairy tale. And the beginning is good. The ending is good. It resolves in a more positive, more empowering tone of her learning, like, hey, you know, maybe I don't need all this drama in my life. I can just focus on what's important. I can remove myself from the equation and just focus on what I like to do and doing things my way, be my own, you know, woman. But in the middle, it's just these pointless special effects scenes that don't really lead up to anything. And it's not all that impressive. I understand where it's coming from. You know, in the 80s, all the special effects studios became a real vibrant business. So if you as a director who didn't do special effects before, now you had a lot of places to go to. You could hire entire teams who are already prepped and have a solid history, you know, a portfolio of work where they could just deliver anything for you. Say, okay, I want this character to be up in the sky, projected off to the Manhattan. And they're like, okay, sure, we know how to do that. It's like, I want, you know, these two characters to fly around New York like Richard Donovan Superman. They're like, okay, we got it shot for you. I want Alec Baldwin to have a nice cameo, or not cameo, but a small role as a ghost. And they're like, oh, we can do that easily. So I know why he feels more free to experiment with these fictional ideas. And his big inspiration, Bergman, always did play around with, you know, again, high concept, metaphorical, almost early science fiction or fantasy, you could call it that. Mostly depressing stuff that he did with his wife. So I guess Woody took notes from that as well. But yeah, it's just that the middle of the movie is kind of pointless. It doesn't lead to anything. When they turn invisible, there was even that awkward moment. I wanted to ask you about that. When they go into the shop, clothing store, and the dude who Mia Farrow's character, just to specify the plot, what we're talking about is, so basically the reason why she's visiting the Chinese doctor and gets all these potions because not only she feels unsatisfied in her marriage, but she begins this romantic relationship with a fellow parent, a single dad who goes to pick up their kid to the same school. And that's played by, Joe Mantegna, if I'm pronouncing
that's
correct.
That's fine, that's fine.
Who's also called Joe in the movie, so let's just call him Joe for simplicity's sake. But basically, her and Joe are already involved. They're sort of having this light affair, and they turn invisible, goof around a little bit, follow Mia Farrow's girlfriend, just to get the usual plot twist of Mia Farrow's husband, played by William Hurt, is a dickhead after all. You know, what a surprise. Who was basically Mr. Republican in this movie. Like, he was the very stereotypical 90s Republican. But Joe just wanders off because he sees a model in the clothing store who's going to try on some you know, clothes. And he basically just has like this orgasm in front of Mia Farrow, invisible. Like, he's like, oh my God, I just need to follow her. And he goes into the dressing room.
Yep. And she lets him, and he even tells her, he's like, I gotta see this, I gotta try, and he does, and she lets him.
I was like, oh, you go have fun. And he goes in, and then the chick walks out and says, oh, well, like, oh, there's some heavy breathing in this dressing room. What's going on? The walls are thin. I'm like, so the dude is basically masturbating her getting naked.
Yeah, that's some anime shit, isn't it?
I was like, Woody, what the hell? He sometimes does this stuff. I was like, No, like, yo, I'm not sensitive.
Just to be honest, I like the fact that Woody Allen's being real. Guys would do that. They probably wouldn't part like a teenager. Guys would probably do it. Let's be honest. It's not. He's a pervert. Some guys would do that.
I was like, is this Ellis, or is this like a prequel to the Kevin Bacon Hollow Man movie? I mean, that's what it sounded like.
I will agree with you. It was weird just for him. He's an old man. You're interested in the woman. You don't do that with someone you're interested in as well. It was very weird. You don't even tell her. Like, doing it on your own, I understand.
Man. You're invisible. Yeah. You could have just walked off and not tell anybody.
Yeah. I do like, before that point, that was near the turning point of the movie where they seem like they were, you know, she was letting him into his secret with the medicine. And then he tells her, you know, something he did. that changed the trajectory of the movie, when he's like, you know what, I went to see my ex-wife and I listened in on her, you know, her therapy session, and now I wanna make it work with her. And then, you know, you don't get that kind of happy ending you expect, because she, you know, she's in a situation where, you know, the guy is going back to her ex-wife. Now, I thought that was interesting. Oh, Woody Allen, that's good. You're not getting the full happy ending, which I like.
Yeah, well, you know, it's typical Woody Allen. It goes with the realistic bit, you know, yeah. A slight letdown, like Purple Rose of Cairo.
I thought he was going to take 10 steps back, though, when she said, oh, the medicine man gives out, here's your super love potion. You give one to the guy, and you can pick your husband or the guy, and you can pick whoever you want. And at the end, I was thinking, really, Woody, you're really going to end like this? And then luckily, he didn't. He just threw that idea out of the way as well. And I just thought, thank God, because this would have been a terrible movie if it ended on her drugging a man to fall in love with her at the end. I thought, I'm glad he was, that was just, that's amateur. That's really amateur. I don't think he would
But I think that was also that's why I say the ending's the strongest, because
yeah,
her character is really set up to be the focus, yeah, and have this big personal decision of, okay, she's in control. She can decide what she wants and she could take the easy way out, but she takes the harder path, and that helps her become a stronger person, which is what she really needed to come out of a man's shadow. Woody, yeah, that's again a concept Woody uses a lot, that, you know, the female counterpart of a relationship feels oppressed by a richer, older, smarter, you know, brilliant man who's always a genius, always some old cranky ass dude talking about, you know, history. And then she just needs to get out of his shadow and really reestablish herself as an individual.
Honestly, Simon, I think you really hit the nail on the point when you said he was just giving Mia Farrow the movie he wanted to give of another woman. And I don't really agree this is an alternative to another woman, but I do agree that she was meant to have that movie, and this is kind of, you know, this is your turn to do that movie now. And ironically, behind the scenes, apparently this was a very hard movie for them to make, because they both just had their first natural child, and she was trying to tend to it, but she wanted to do this movie, so behind the scenes it was very hectic apparently as well. And talking about the hecticness of the movie, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, the critical feedback is not very good with this movie. It's not really looked on very well. Another one of the lowest movies, lows, fives and sixes. And again, I think, like I said about a few times, the movie doesn't age well, mostly because this is the type of movie that has been done to death. A woman in a bad marriage who leaves to find the finer things in life or what really matters. This is subgenre of a family movie or a broken marriage has been done to death. I mean, even that, I hate to bring up Tyler Perry, Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Well, that's slightly different because she got dumped by her husband. But there's so many.
Yeah, movies. But I know what you mean. Yeah. Heck, even Woody Allen himself down the line will reuse the same trappings and do a much better movie. Yeah. Even one that he did this decade. Starts off that has Alec Baldwin in it.
Aha, good catch.
Yeah, good exactly. Catch. So,
and that didn't do well either, by the way.
But it was a good movie and was nominated for, in fact, the female lead won an Oscar for that. But we have plenty of time to get there. I'm just saying that even Woody Allen himself will do better using the same thing he tried this time around. Or at least the same beginning, or the same main character arc.
Yeah. Well, lastly, I'm going to do something that people hate when I do, but I'm a black man, so I'm going to do it. Simon, guess what? I saw this movie. Two black people.
I was actually going to ask you that. Were you happy that in the private school, they actually had black parents for once and all the maids were white?
And her personal trainer was a black man as well.
Yeah, see, that would have been the real movie. If she gets together with a personal trainer. Come on, Woody. You still have time to make
Woody Allen's Jungle Fever. Anyway, guys, I mean, this is a short one. It's passable, but it's forgettable. I think this is one of his most forgettable movies. But guys, if you think we're being too critical, let us know what you think. Leave a comment in the comment section down below. And as always, massive shout out to the Woody Allen Pages Watchers Guide. You can check out that book. Goes all behind the scenes on the movie, all the things, all the trivia, all the things we didn't mention, because that book is awesome. We're always promoting it. And again, get more trivia about this movie in that book. And again, Simon, it's a short one. I don't want to drag it out. We did make it a bit longer than it really should have been, but again, you know, it is what it is. It's one of those movies that, you know, it's got 50 movies. A lot of them aren't going to be magnificent.
Also, the best part of this movie, for me at least, wasn't even anything to do with Alex. You know how her character has a religious background, which is, again, is typical for Woody, but she really looks up to Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
To me, the best part of the entire movie was when she takes her husband and the kids to watch a movie, a documentary about Mother Teresa, and everybody in the theater is like in tears, crying, on the verge of, you know, passing out, except her husband, William Hurt, just sits there like he couldn't give a shit less.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
I mean, that was hilarious. That would have been me in the theater where everybody's crying. I was like, oh, damn it, how long is this shit going
to take? Actually, there was a movie that we went to. This is completely off topic. About 2 years ago, it was straight out of Compton. And there was a part where your girlfriend was crying and you were just there laughing. I think me and you were both kind of chuckling.
Yeah, which part was that?
It was a part where he had AIDS.
Oh, yeah, we were just laughing at his ass.
And she was
bawling. My girlfriend was like, oh, that's so sad. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, we're fucking assholes, guys. But anyway, the main reason I'm glad you brought it up, because I nearly forgot, man. Do you know an actress that I saw in this movie that I've got a lot of respect for? And she's been like, this is one of the rarest actresses. She gets more beautiful as she gets older.
You take it away.
It's Blythe Danner. It's Mia Farrow's sister.
Oh, she was actually another really good character in the movie. She's barely in it in two scenes, but she was funny, man, because she just says, oh, stop whining. You're rich.
Yeah, she really good to it. And she's been in Huff. She's a very like a celebrated actress. I think she's an Emmy-nominated actress. She's such a great actress. And she's actually looked better as she's gotten older. I mean, I know I'm sounding like some really disgusting kind of guy right now, but and when I see her now, in the night, she looks much younger. She actually looks better now, which is fucking weird.
Not necessarily. Some women, you know, some people are like that. It's so good, man. That's what you want. Long-term investment, you know?
Anyway, guys, I thought I'd end it on a pervy observation.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, where are you going with this? Like, okay, like, are you watching MILF porn right now? Are you multitasking? What's on your browser?
Well, that would be GILF. Porn, actually, just to be specific. But anyway, guys, I think we've gone completely off the rails. Let's end this review here, guys. Simon, as usual, I want to thank you for joining me on this one.
That's fine. Hopefully next time we'll stay on topic a little bit better, because the movie will have more to offer.
Oh man, the next movie, boy. Boy, Woody Allen, you know what happens every time he does a movie that's mediocre? He decides that, you know what, you want something different, I'm gonna give you something different. So the next movie, boy, I think it's Shadows and Fog. We'll see. Look forward to that one, guys. Subscribe to the channel if you want to check out that discussion. Stay tuned. Don't forget, we've got the whole retrospective of Woody Allen movies. We're in the 90s now. We're catching up to recent times. It won't be long, guys. By the end of the year, who knows? We might have watched everything by then. So leave a comment down below. Give us a like. Check us out on the podcast. And we'll see you on the next recording.